Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, people. Welcome,
welcome to
1 o'clock Wednesday. What are we? We're She's Raised the Bar, Blog Talk Radio, and that's what we are every Wednesday at 1 o'clock.
We are
Stop us from
raising it high.
That. And that was a theme for anybody under what, 40?
Has to be.
Under 40 wouldn't know that. We know. Anybody who's above 40 knows what that song
right.
is. No, but you know what? I think they have it on rerun, too. So I think anybody would get to know what that song
be.
Was by
could
now.
Be.
It's Maud. And the lady who wrote a lot of the wonderful scripts
episodes,
and
yeah.
wonderful laughs that we have gotten over the year is going to be on with us again today. She was on last year, right?
Yeah.
Right after the...
when her great book came out, that's doing
Hot
really well
in
Hollywood.
Right, and we had her on, the lovely Susan Silva. She'll be joining us in a couple of minutes. And and you corrected me, because the last time she was on, I had Mary Tyler Moore theme
yes.
queued up.
Which
and
she wrote a lot of those
she
episodes,
wrote Mary
too.
Tyler Moore, New Heart, I think Love American Style,
mm-hmm.
Partridge
Family. All my
Family.
Favorite shows.
Partridge Family, there was something else. What else? There was
I wonder how many
few.
People were brought up with those shows. I was brought up with those shows.
Were,
I used to love watching
you
them.
You know, they were on, whether you got into them or not, they were always on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's always shows that I swear I always saw, but I can't remember an episode. You know, that's sometimes...
You mean when
just,
you watch it now.
Right. It's just like, oh, you kind of remember on the periphery of
right.
things. So, but, yeah, she'll be joining us in a little bit. And let me give you a cast of characters.
Go
so
for
you know,
it.
So you know who the us is. The us is,
go for it,
Lee Ziegelman is she.
Woo! And Laurie Towers is she, too.
Laurie Towers is me, and we are She's Raising Bar every Wednesday, Blog Talk Radio. And let me tell you something.
A lot of she's here.
It's all about she. It's all about her, you know. It's all about being the her and hero.
That's right.
Really what this is about. And let me tell you something. Today is a day that we could certainly... use laughter. You know, laughter, I always say, is
today? I
yes.
think it was this whole year.
Well, you know something, it seems to be coming to, the things that are going on in the world just seem to be coming to this horrible, horrible head, and it's gotten to the point where you see people and you let the parting words are, look, it can't get worse. And somehow it does. Somehow, when we think we're at our most shallow point, we manage to drain a little bit more water out of the pool, and that's what's happening. And it's just, you turn on the TV and you just see these absolutely horrific things. And you know, and it's funny because I'm fairly political, I would say. And
you think?
Well, you know what? I wouldn't say I'm the most. Because I really like to look at things from both sides, and
mm-hmm.
I like to always say the common denominator is we are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We are dealing with our views and running the country differently. And that's the way it should be, and we should be
always,
able to
it always has been.
Agree to disagree and be able to speak up when,
mm-hmm.
when things are wrong.
That's why they have all these different parties.
But this new... pulling children away from their mothers,
mm-hmm.
this...
I actually was just scrolling before. You saw I was scrolling
mm-hmm.
for Facebook that had live things that he was signing something, so maybe something, you know, came to fruition finally.
I would love to. And you know what the sad thing about this is? It again, you know, we stick to our parties. We certainly do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know something? If my party has done something wrong, I don't have a problem saying they were wrong. Right. You know, look, there wasn't a perfect candidate that I said I always loved and I didn't disagree with. You have to. There's different sensibilities. But when I go on Facebook and I see people saying, you know, I'm tired of people knocking Trump and blah, 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 you know, the Democrats put this law into place and blah, 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 and it was Obama and it was Clinton, blah, 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 and all those friggin' liberals. Okay. First of all, you're all wrong. That's number one.
They were ignorant before. They're going to be ignorant now.
But number two, don't think I wouldn't have disagreed with it if it happened under either of those people.
Right.
Of course I would have. We're dealing with human beings here. But one thing that people are forgetting, the person that is in charge now could change the law. He could change the law. He could rescind. Regardless of if we're going to have an argument on who did it, he could stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I say to myself, and this is something I want to read that I saw today, and it's about breaking laws and how when something is morally corrupt, you break the law. Okay. Now, the people who sheltered Jews in hidden rooms and attics and basements during the Holocaust, they were breaking the law. The people who smuggled 7,000 Jews out of Denmark were breaking the law. Schindler was breaking the law. The Underground Railroad broke the law. Harriet Tubman broke the law. Martin Luther King broke the law. The friggin' Boston Tea Party was breaking the law. If saving friends and family and innocent people is breaking the law, break the friggin' law. If the law is unjust, if the law is morally wrong, break the fucking law.
Wow.
How about that?
Lauren Towers is cursing.
How about
not
that?
Me.
Break the law. If anybody is listening who has a sensibility and a sense of conscience,
mm-hmm.
and is thinking that the man that you voted in can't correct this, there's a mailbox in hell with your name on it too, if you're not thinking that this is absolutely reprehensible behavior. This is something that shouldn't be happening, and we're allowing it by staying silent. And if you're protesting this weekend, wherever you are, protest this, get out there, and do the right thing. These are kids. These are babies that are being ripped. In the New York Times, a baby being pulled away from the mother's breast while the mother was breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? Now, you're a mother. Can you imagine?
No, but listen, it's unfathomable. I have to tell you. It's just terrible.
I'm not a parent, and I can't imagine.
I'm going to tell you that it's going to go on for a little bit, but he's going to sign it. Because he wants to look like a hero.
But you know something?
This is the way he is.
He waited. You know what? When you're a hero, when you do it immediately, when you see, oh, my God, I didn't expect this to happen.
He's
going
to have a little praise first. Oh, come on, come on, come on. And then after that.
But you
want to
know something? You want to know something? How are these parents? See, this was just a knee-jerk reflex. This
mm-hmm.
was just him saying, I want the wall now. You know, we're using kids as pawn. They're not going to be able to find these kids. The parents, this is just, can you imagine people that don't speak English? Okay, they're going to be having their translator. It might take months before they find their children. Can you imagine the horror?
Mm-hmm. When we said that we voted in another Hitler, it's in another Hitler. It's just another way of doing stuff.
It's
kids pulled away from their parents like it was in the Holocaust.
And, you know,
it's
they're
the same.
Coming from a Catholic.
But he's picking.
Okay.
The foreigners.
But listen to this. But the foreigners who look like Swedes wouldn't be treated like this.
Of
the blonde hair, blue eyed, this would not be happening.
Right,
tells me other than that is wrong.
Well,
but now the best thing is, we have a lot I'm Catholic, and a lot of the people that voted for him, and I found out recently, very disappointed, people that I didn't think voted for him were a one policy voter. And they voted for his stance on abortion. Okay. Now, the people that are clinging to the Bible and what they're interpreting the Bible as saying, the highest power in our country under God, as far as Catholics, sees the Pope. Now, the Pope went out this morning and said, this is morally wrong.
Yep.
Now, I want to see the shift in the religious right. Now that the Pope went out and said something, is anybody going to say, well, you know what? Yeah. Pope's, you know, in the eyes of a Catholic,
it's
the Pope is above
around.
The president.
It's
so let's just see.
This is the way he does things.
Well, you know what? It's
we've got a hemp and haw, and then all of a sudden he becomes the big winner in the end.
Well, you know something?
Like this whole thing with North Korea. Same thing. Everybody was so afraid we're going to go to war, then this happened.
But you want to know something? This could very easily blow up in his face because women, I think thinking women that vote, okay, I'm not going to say that every woman who voted for him was not thinking, but I'm carefully considering you weren't thinking correctly.
No.
I'm going to say
have
it
no
like that.
Respect for themselves.
Most women cannot. Women, I'm saying I'm not a parent, and I cannot imagine you taking my baby out of my dead grip. Would you get my – I can't even imagine after going thousands and thousands of miles, clinging to this child and holding the other in your hand, traveling away from horror for salvation,
yeah.
And this is what you get.
I know.
And you're going to take my child – any thinking woman, any woman who's looking at their children right now, listening, whether you agree with us or disagree with us, it doesn't matter, you have a right to. But look at your children and imagine them getting on a school bus that's rushing them away from you, and you have no idea how you're going to get them. Think about that every time you say, you know something, I think he's doing a good job. Please think about it. Anyway, I know the lovely Susan Silver is waiting patiently.
I'm gonna bring her on. Here we go.
Here we are,
hello.
Darling.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, God, I'm exhausted. You know, I knew this was going to happen. I knew he was going to sign it to try to be the hero. And
what did I just say?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to tell people on Twitter and Facebook, I've been on 24/7, let him do it. We know the truth. Let him sign it first before we gloat. Please, people, let's play it a little smarter.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's you're watching this, and I was watching Rachel Maddow last night. And was,
oh, my God.
You saw that, right? The woman could not talk. She
cried,
had to
right?
pass it
and
off.
And she was actually apologized on Twitter.
I know, and I said that's humanity, nothing to apologize for.
No, exactly. I didn't understand that.
I listened to the tapes about two times, and I couldn't listen anymore. And every time I heard Mommy, Daddy, I started to cry. And, I mean, I have a godchild. I don't have children myself. I heard what you were saying. And all I could... And I said to the mother, maybe this is why it hit me so strongly now. I love this kid so much. If I envisioned her with her blankie being pulled away, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I'd do.
It's I'm watching, and I'm saying this is a seasoned professional who could read, you know, which you could
read.
And just when that news came in about the tender age facility.
And to talk about euphemism.
Oh, my God. And she could not even get it out, and she was covering her face. And we all do that. We all, like, you know, when you're talking to somebody and you try to hold your chin,
right,
you try to deflect, and and she could not reorient herself.
I know. It was an amazing moment. And I hope, since I've been on this, you know, every day, 24/7 on Twitter and Facebook, I hope that our voices being heard made it happen. I think the press proved itself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so worried about the institutions holding up under fascism, and I think the press really proved itself. And I, in my own radio show tomorrow, I had already written the copy, which now I'll have to change because I prophesied that this was going to happen. But I still want to see what it says. From what I'm gathering, they're saying it's only going to be a 20-day hold because that's what the initial order said, and then it'll have to be re-upped. But you could even see in I call him deranged Donnie, hashtag 45-ish, as never my president. You could tell by his body language that he was cowed. I watched this so-called kiss-up, you know, whatever they, I don't want to use the F word, around him. Cluster, you know what. Oh, you did? Okay. Cluster F word around him.
Go right ahead.
But you could tell he was not the cocky putz that he usually is. He was a half cocky putz.
Right.
And he was trying to make the most of it and then talking up his other things. I don't care. Let him be the hero. I just want this done.
That's exactly right.
I just want this done.
Yep. And you know, I was thinking about, I don't know who the quote was from, because I always think that laughter heals and humor heals. What was the quote? I think it was Lenny Bruce who said, comedy is tragedy plus time. Is there any
absolutely
comedy?
Right, honey. Yeah. Should we tell how his mother fixed me up with him in college? It's all in my book.
Is that
really?
Right? Tell me that.
Yeah, it's in my book. My book, in fact, Lenny's the only one with his, I think he's the only one with his own chapter. I actually was invited to Brandeis University. His daughter, Kitty, presented his papers 50 years after his death, which is interesting because I'm only between 50 and deaf, so I must have been like 3 months old. But I was 3 months old at a UCLA party on New Year's Eve, and this little cute woman came in and she said, "Who are you? And, you know, are you single?" And I looked at the date that I didn't like. I said, "Yeah, I'm single. Why?" And she said, "Well, I'd like to fix you up with my son." And I said, "Who's your son?" And she said, "Lenny Bruce." And I almost fainted. And I was the little Jewish virgin, and he was the so-called druggy, incredible, iconic performer. So she told him to come to the party, and we were sitting at his feet, and everything he said was so brilliant. And then he asked me out. And then I was living at my uncle's house. My uncle said, "No way, you're not going." I said, "Oh, yes, I am." My uncle said, "Well, then I'm coming along on the date." My uncle, who was a famous Cy Howard showbiz guy himself, commentator, he came on the date. We went to hear Lenny at the Crescendo Club, and it was so brilliant, and I was so in awe. And then the three of us sat for a drink, and my uncle and he talked, and I just sat there. You know, I was overwhelmed. And he wrote on a napkin, "Susan will always go to the corner, but she's afraid to go around."
God,
he was
good.
Very smart guy. He knew he had the little
Jewish
virgin.
He was absolutely brilliant. He really was.
Scared to death. Yeah. And then he gave me a copy of his famous bit of how to make, well, at the day, back then it was called Colored People, how to make black people feel comfortable at a party. You know, you say things like, "Wow, I love that Uncle Ben's rice. It's like wonderful." And that Aunt Jemima, I love, that's my favorite kind of sauce, you know. He gave me that, and he wrote on the bottom, "Clark Gable found alive in Argentina. Love, Lenny Bruce."
That's so cute.
Yeah,
he was sexy. Yeah, he was wonderful. And think about this. He was, I mean, when you think about, like, Howard Stern and people like that now, this guy was this when, you know, he didn't have the freedom of speech.
They hounded him to his death because they kept arresting him, and that drove him to his death. And the interesting thing was, now people do it to shock and everything. He really didn't. He just wanted to tell the truth. And he didn't do it to be shocking like some of these, you know, guys now. And he was an amazing guy, and I was really honored to have known him in my brief little. The funny thing was, there was a seminar at Brandeis on free speech, and they were dealing with First Amendment and humor in the Holocaust and all these things, and then I got up like the little blonde bimbo, "Oh, and his mommy fixed me up with him," and I was speaking. It was like the really out of body experience that I was there. It's on YouTube, actually, if anybody wants to see it.
But you know, anybody who hasn't read the book yet, I mean, it's really silly, because you really should. It's just such a lovely trip through her life and her experiences. And you know, because now, thankfully, we have this whole hashtag MeToo movement. And I'm not saying, I'm not happy that women are coming forward. But the funny thing about all of this is, this woman who, see the picture of Susan Silver now, and she's lovely. And when she was young, she was lovely. And yet she managed to, I mean,
I escaped five of the big ropers.
This is what I'm saying. What do you think was unique in your situation?
You know, I think about this all the time. I don't know if you said the name of the book. It's Hot Pants in Hollywood. And I actually wore hot pants to meetings. I am so sorry, feminists. Please forgive me, but I didn't know better.
That was the day.
Yeah, I didn't know better at the time. But first of all, I was married, so that probably was a protection. And there must have been something about me that said, you know, don't do it. I mean, I tell in the book about my incident with Bill Cosby, where he did try, and I escaped. Very fortunately, since I was a little Jewish virgin at the time in college, and that would, of course, ruin my life. But I escaped several other ones, and Harvey Weinstein, I worked for him. He was just nasty, but I was too old for him, I guess, at the time. But I don't know, there must have been something about me that said, don't touch. And then the one or two people that did, that I wanted to,
But I think that's the way, you know, and I'm sure people are going to say, well, that's, now you're just blaming the victim. I'm not. But there's got to be something in every situation that makes it a
somehow
little...
Somehow I think actresses were more prone because they felt that the casting couch was a known thing, and perhaps they felt they had to. As a writer, I didn't face the same thing, or as a casting exec, I didn't face the same thing. But, you know, it's something I feel like now I want to say, and I've asked friends during the time, you know, was I, like, naive and I didn't see what was going on? You know, several of my friends were groped or were hit upon, and others were not. So it wasn't everywhere. It certainly was prevalent. But now in every industry, in the restaurant industry and in this and that, and it you know, it's really kind of amazing when you think about it. And I don't know how I escaped. I guess I was just lucky, or maybe I was like a bitch and they knew it or something. I don't know. But I decked them. I always say I would deck somebody if I were in the position, but you don't know.
But, you know, somehow that message got across. Because
they were
just
afraid, probably.
Yeah. Like I said, there's got to be, you know, I always say it's what you bring. You're 50%
of the equation.
And it's
also how you carry yourself. You
yeah.
know, if you carry
yeah.
yourself like you're strong and you're not going to take no shit, nobody's going to bother with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, let's hope. But I do think that now women have an extra tool to help them. They know that they have support, and they know they'll be believed. Whereas
right.
in the past, you know, it was always that he said, she said thing.
Right, exactly.
And I only had one or two incidents where people, like, tried to do something to me, but nobody ever didn't hire me or punished
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
For it.
See,
and that, you know, that's the difference also.
Yeah.
And, of course, now I feel we have to put it on a range. I mean, Al Franken was ridden out on a rail and shouldn't have been.
No,
you know, that goes all the way down the scale and then up the scale to Harvey Weinstein. There's a whole
exactly.
range in there, and I think
exactly.
we have to be careful. And we needed Al Franken's voice now, believe me.
I know, more than ever. I know. Well, you know, I remember there was a period about 2 months ago where it was like every week there was somebody else.
Yeah,
the last
else
one that I was shocked at was, what was we liked the guy, Mario Batali.
Yeah.
Oh,
was,
the chef?
Yeah, and it was like immediate. And I knew a couple of people that worked near his restaurant, and immediately the
you know, that didn't surprise me.
You know,
it didn't surprise
me either.
Surprised.
He always looked like he needed to wash his hands before
yeah.
he mixed the food. I don't know.
I mean,
yeah, he always looked dirty.
I never got any type of vibe that, but you know what? Again, you can't be too surprised of anything. But like, it's like immediate. The immediate response is take all the stuff off the shelves, get rid of it. And Barnes and Noble got rid of his books immediately.
Yeah,
wow.
They're not going to stand for that.
Yeah,
they're not going to stand for that, which is a good thing. It's
no,
a very
absolutely.
Good thing. Well, you had something with Bill Cosby also, right?
Yeah.
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 So,
that was in the book.
It's in the book. But
that.
What happened was there was a show called Hootenanny back in the day where country western singers went around to college campuses, and I was at UCLA, and a friend of my uncle's said, you know, I have some clients in the show. You can come and be on TV if you're sitting in the front row and you're very animated. You know, they'll put you on TV, and then you can come to the party afterward, which is at Theodore Bekele's house. That's a name
oh,
that
wow.
younger people won't know, but he was kind of an iconic person back in the day. So I went, and during the first show, I was very animated, and my friend said, oh, you did a good job now. Afterward, stay for the second show, and then you'll come to the party. I said, well, how will I get there? And he said, my client will take you. I said, fine. Well, the client was somebody named Bill Cosby, but I had no idea who it was because he had just done his album. I thought he was a country western singer. So after the show, and he did his routine, I said, oh, hi, you know. He took me to the party. Couldn't have been nicer. At the party, I was very quiet, sort of sitting in the corner. He gave me a ride home, and we started talking, and he said he just got engaged, and he, you know, had this new album, and, you know, what did I want to do? And I said, I want to be a comedy writer. And he said, well, would you like to work on my second album? I said, you're kidding. He said, no. I said, well, how do we do that? And he said, well, you know, you'll come to the office, and we'll pitch ideas. And I was, like, beside myself. I was, like, you know, 20, and I hadn't graduated college, and I had a job, right? So we got to my apartment. He had a little green sports car, and we pulled up to the corner, and he lunged at me. And I did, as I say, the Lucille Ball exit. I fell out of the car with my legs up in the air. And he just drove away. And I was like, what the hell happened here? Now, dissolve, as we say, all these years later, it would have ruined my life.
Yeah.
So you wonder,
I would have never recovered, or who knows what would have happened. So I told
you would have been on that panel with 50 women.
There you go. And I would have, yeah. And I was a virgin at the time, so it would have been even worse.
Oh,
so,
took away my virginity.
Yeah. I told this story at my book party, and the New York Post put it in, you know. And then 2 days later, my friend called and said, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "Oh, God, they've called me to testify at the trial. What the hell?" She said, "No, it's worse. The National the National Enquirer picked it up, and there was a headline."
That's even worse.
That is a lot.
Here's the headline. Comedy vet escapes sex fiend.
Oh, that's too funny.
And there's a picture of me now, so I look like a cougar, and a picture of him then. So it was
Say
not,
what?
Yeah, uh-huh.
But,
yeah.
You know, but what bothers me about everything, any good that man did is completely
wiped out.
Tainted now.
Well, but
and
he was a predator. I mean, it's not even to dope people and everything. I mean,
That's what I don't get. Because, I mean, now, first of all, it shows his character. Like he made somebody uncomfortable enough that she fell out of his car. As comical as that seems, she fell. She could have gotten hurt, and he drove away.
He didn't care.
Yeah,
what does that say?
Well, look what he does. He drugs
this,
them.
See, this is
he
what
drugs
I'm
people. So he's really, I mean, he's really almost an anomaly because he's a real predator, and he
yes.
is going to go to jail.
Yes.
He pretends to be blind now, but
yes,
I doubt
exactly.
that he is. He'll
but
be bumping into
everything.
The bars. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's bad.
And you, but you know, you look at him when he was a young man.
He was handsome.
He
didn't need to do it.
Absolutely, handsome, smart, great body.
Mm-hmm.
What it,
I always thought he was a genius with his comedy.
It obviously is not just about the conquest of getting somebody. He wanted somebody who was a non-participant in the act, and that's
a
little.
That's
I mean,
a little, that's
it's,
a little
it's,
nuts.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
a little something. There's something screwing you loose up there.
It's, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I think it's called serial rapist.
Yeah.
And that's I often wonder, having a wife who's married to you probably what 60? I'm imagining 65
you
years.
Had to know.
Least,
yeah.
How do you? I mean, let's be serious. She's not going anyplace now. Obviously, at this point in her life, how can she look at this man and defend him when it's not just one or two women. If it was one
no,
of
she shouldn't. She could leave. Believe me, she has enough money. Harvey Weinstein's wife divorced him.
Of
I mean,
course, yeah.
There is a limit, you know. We're not talking about, like I said, Al Franken putting his hand on someone's boob in a picture.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And a serial rapist who used, drugs. And there were plenty of people who aided and abetted because girls
mm-hmm.
were being brought in and out of dress. Plus, he wasn't very nice to work with. People told me on the Cosby Show that he was very, very difficult. So, I mean, he's really up there in the pantheon of bad ones. Let's talk about something more fun.
How is your book doing?
Well, funny you should ask. This is the one-year anniversary, and I had
it
such
is.
A good time. I traveled all over, and I'm not done. I have a couple more events. I have an event in February in Tucson, which will be nice.
Oh, nice.
Brandeis alumni, as a matter of fact.
Oh, is that cool?
And I have a couple more interviews, and, it turned out to be really fun, and more importantly, it connected me with so many great women and so many great people whose reviews and comments meant a lot to me, because aside from all the showbiz stuff and the sex parts, of which there are many, the interesting thing is I learned the three themes are resilience. I didn't realize I had it till I sat down to write the book. I always thought I couldn't handle anything, and I handled a lot.
Yeah.
Reinvention. Every 20 years, you have to reinvent yourself these days.
Very truth. Mm-hmm.
And then relationships, and of all kinds that we can have now. So those are themes that I want to stress aside from the fun stuff and the gossip. And I will say that was the most interesting thing for me, to have people come up to me and stuff like that. And, boy, do you feel like a rock star when you do a book thing. Wow. It's
sure.
like
everybody's
now I understand
too.
Why
really
people
cool.
want to perform and be up there.
Yeah.
But now I would imagine this would be incentive to write another. Or do you want to
You know something, honey? I can't live another life. I'm exhausted. It was too exhausting a life.
It's like giving birth.
God. 2 years
crazy.
Of writing. And when, besides, when I think of all the, you know, I almost died a couple times. I've met everybody of our generation. It's like I don't have the energy to live again. I'm just going to schlep on until I drop now.
Do you think that this could translate to film? What do you think?
I don't think so. One person reached out to me and then nothing developed. I don't think so. I think so.
I could picture it.
But
why
don't you guys
somebody
buy
playing
it?
You as
you
a younger woman?
Who could play me?
Let's think. Who could play you?
Who would you pick?
I'll tell you, I did a movie of the week years ago about my husband and me. It was called The Couple Takes a Wife, and it was an article in In Ms. Magazine about when you're a working wife, how do you handle it? So you get an assistant, and I did the casting. Paula Prentice as myself, because she talks in the same rhythms I do, and then I cast Valerie Perrine as the wife to bring into your house, which you would never do if you were smart. She was too hot.
Valerie Perrine,
didn't she just die?
I don't know if she's still alive.
No, she's ill. She has Parkinson's, and I'm we reconnected on Facebook, which is so wonderful. And she was a darling person and very beautiful and lovely. And she was in the Lenny Bruce movie, as a matter of fact. It all comes around. Yeah.
Wow. Have you?
But
seen
now,
a,
who would I cast? I don't know.
I'm trying to think now. Who would be cast as you?
Huh?
I don't know. I mean, young me or old me?
Well, you got to have a young you, and it has
to
be an older you.
Of course.
Yeah.
We have to have two.
Unless they dress her up as an older you with makeup.
We'll have to think about that. My background was in casting. I should know this. But
I
always identified with Julie Christie. I always loved her, and I always dressed like her and tried to pretend I was her. And one time I was in a cab in New York, and the guy said to me, "You know who you look like?" I said, "Who? Who?" He said, "Julie Christie." I said, I gave him like a $10 tip.
But I'm trying to think of who I like now. Because it has to be tough. It has to be classy, but tough.
A basket case. Has to be able to play a basket case as well.
Well,
so.
That's acting.
Well, I think a lot of actresses are basket cases.
That's why Paula was so good. She had that kind of ditzy quality to her, and yet she was a serious human being, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and then I cast Bill Bixby as my husband, who was nothing like my husband, but it worked out well.
Bill, and he's passed. Bill I definitely could see this translating to film. I really think so.
Well, you guys buy it. You put it together.
Definitely.
Yeah, like I don't have enough in my life. I don't have enough of enough pressure.
Enough
but,
project,
No, I mean, I went to your book signing, where was it, at the
92nd Street Y? At the 92nd Street Y, you did.
Nice full house. And what we liked about it was it wasn't only women. There were a few men there.
There were a couple men, and you know, it's so interesting. I will say, because it's a woman's life and it's a baby boomer, and we can all identify, hopefully, with every, you know, I was divorced, I didn't have children, I looked to find babies that I love, I took care of my parents, all that stuff. But the guys that have responded, they all respond. And they've told me they've cried at the chapter about my father and how I took care of my father, because I was very close to him.
Yeah.
And I think guys relate to that with their own fathers. So hopefully there's something in there for everybody. And hopefully now everybody listening to the show who didn't buy it before can go and buy it now.
They really
should. Of course.
You know, because it's time for summer reading. And I think you put it nicely.
Perfect time.
There's really something for everybody in there, because there are a lot of sweet and tender points.
Yep.
And you laugh. And there's some emotional stuff, and you laugh. So there's it's very easy.
You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll have sex. I mean, what could be more?
But this is what I'm saying. There's everything there. So you're not committed to one emotion when you're reading it.
I have to tell you something funny, though. I did some events in Florida through the Jewish Book Council, and they were elderly women, and I did my pitch, and I said there's some good sex in the book and everything, but it's not the main thing in the book. And one of the guys who had read it came up, and he said, "Could I just ask you one thing?" I said, "What?" He said, "Could we, like, skip the part about the vibrator when you're calling the luncheon?"
That opens up the book.
Okay. That opens the book. I said, "Just go right to my childhood, then. You don't have to worry about the prologue." But strangely enough, those women all liked the prologue. So there you go. You never know.
I thought it got you in gear for what it gave you a nice little setup for the book.
Because it's comedy. It's comic sex.
Right,
what could be better than that?
Yeah, and that's
nice.
Fortunately or unfortunately, everything in my life has a laugh. I don't know why, but I guess to keep myself entertained, I look at the funny part.
I think you really have to, and that's why I was saying.
Well, I think it's the best thing to do.
It's the best medicine, and you know what?
Except this week I couldn't. There was nothing to laugh about, and I got a stomach thing, and I think it was a stress-related.
Really?
The best thing that happened this week, I don't know if you guys saw it, or the video of that woman who's the head of Homeland Security got thrown out of a restaurant because
that was beautiful.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. She went to eat Mexican food.
She went
to
a Mexican restaurant.
Talk about a tin ear. Talk about, yeah. And people stood over her and said, you can't eat when the kids can't eat, and shame on you, and they drove her out of the restaurant.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. That's
wonderful.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, had she stayed a little longer, they would have spit in the food, and she wouldn't have known it. That probably would have been good.
Well, see, that's the, you know, and I was watching her speak. And I'm like, how inept. You don't know? What do you mean you don't know?
I know. She doesn't know. Where are the girls? I don't know.
How dare you? How friggin' dare you?
It's Boko Haram. Where are the girls? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to tell you the truth, I really don't know. I, the minute that comes out of your mouth, get off the stage because you should lose your job right there.
Right.
And then to go to a, I mean, and see, this just shows you the level of detach this woman has. She has no idea what she's part of, and yet she could go and dine like there's no
at a Mexican restaurant.
Yes.
Yep.
And thinking that nothing could possibly happen to her.
No, I loved it. I just loved it.
That's the only
time I smiled during this whole week. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. And then somebody said, this has to be the due policy for every one of them when they go to a restaurant, you know, spit on the food and then shame them. And I think that's a shunning. Remember shunning? It was before our day. Yeah.
But see, you know, but the truth is, I mean, there are consequences for everything you do, and you can't take a job like that. And whether you're right or wrong, you can't expect people not to react. And especially now, the one good thing, the only good thing that came out of all of this very long, almost 2 years, is the fact that we have unified, we have yelled, we have screamed, we have said,
finally found our voice, right?
That's exactly right. And we're not going to put up with this, and we're going to push back, and we're going to be in the airports, we're going to be here, we're going to be. And
I'll tell you something else. The Internet, for all its good and bad, has been so helpful. At least, in fact, I posted this the other day. I live alone, and sometimes you want to scream at the TV, and you just want to know that somebody else feels the way you do. And to be able to go on Twitter and share with people of your own, you know, they say it's not good, you only reinforce your own thing. I don't care. I want to know there are other people that feel the way I do and that are acting out and that have good ideas. And I started out with about 200 Twitter people. I have 652 now, I think, based on all this resistance.
I mean, did you find that you lost any friends or you unfriended people?
No, I dropped two people.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped my best friend, believe it or not, or I'd say one of my two best friends after 40 years, because in the beginning I knew she was Republican, and that's fine. I would have voted for John Kasich if I had the opportunity. I mean, there are all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a Trumper, and I couldn't discuss it with her. I said, best not to discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he was elected and I started to see that it was even worse than I thought it was going to be, I said, are you disappointed at all? Do you have any second thoughts? I thought at least she'd... And she sent me an email, and it said, his values are my values. He's a great president.
Oh,
and I
said, they all sound like robots.
I can't be friends with someone who has those values. I stopped talking to her.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because then it's just, you know, I don't know too many people that voted for him. I have to say, I stay within a certain circle, and I like it there. But at least say something and then show some remorse. Again, there are a lot of people, especially these Bible-thumping Catholics, so it's a one-policy vote, and
right,
the abortion issue is the thing for you.
But you
I
know
want...
what's worse is the taxes. I know another guy, a wealthy guy who's a doctor, and last week I emailed him. I said, you're a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only other Trump person I know. I said, you're supposed to save children and be a healer. Do you have any? And he sent me this article about the tax cuts. So I said, you know what, if that's what you're choosing, then there's no point in discussing
it.
No,
it's not even bothering.
I'm talking about morality and
right.
babies,
he's
and you're talking
about
a tax cut?
You know what? You're not gonna win with somebody like that.
No,
but
you
I think
can't.
The worst thing was last night they showed you, and you probably saw this, Susan. Corey Lebowski, whatever his name was. Did you see that? He's talking about there's a split screen. There was one a Democrat strategist was bringing up the fact that in the New York Times or the Washington Post, there was a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome.
That's right.
That was taken from her mother. 10-year-old Down syndrome,
mm-hmm.
taken from her mother.
Mm-hmm.
This guy goes, wah, wah.
Yep.
Oh,
and the other guy reacted so strongly.
Oh, and I loved it. How dare you?
Oh, me too. It's a firestorm on the Internet and everything. He is, but you know what? There's like three or four of them, this Stephen Miller, Steve Bannon, as ugly as they are on the inside, they are on the outside. But the interesting thing to me is I'm on a campaign, let's all do this, people, to call the cable stations and not to bring those people on. When Kellyanne Conway is lying from the minute she opens her mouth, when Steve Bannon and Jonathan Carl could not hold up his end, I mean, the guy ran rough over him. I don't want to see those people. I don't want to hear those people. Forget fair and balance. Let's talk about truth.
Yeah. But see, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, a lot of wonderful things have been brought about by bipartisan, inclusion. You know, yelling at each other from across the aisle and then deciding, okay, look, we're going to work on this. Go home safely, say hello to your wife, and that's it. We disagree in policy. But when
they don't do that anymore.
It's just this nasty. It absolutely does not have to be. And all the presidents that I've disagreed with in policy, I think to myself, had a lot of issues with Reagan, but he'd be spinning in his grave right now. He wouldn't believe what's going on.
And thank God for Laura Bush. I always loved her.
Oh, my God,
she was a classy, decent human. I mean, you know, now they're trying. You guys have been on the air, so you don't know, but they're trying to say that Melania was behind this, whispering into his ear. I doubt if they even talk.
Wow.
But now they're trying to say that she and Ivanka. I was at here's a dilemma.
Go ahead.
I was getting a pedicure about a month ago, and who was sitting next to me? Ivanka.
Really?
And there was my moment. I said to myself, now, do I say something? Do I not? But then I thought, you can't visit the father's sins on the child, and so I didn't say anything. Now I'm sorry I didn't.
Okay. Well, what could you have done? Seriously.
Did you say anything?
No, I didn't. She was nice to everybody there. I think it depends on who it is. If I ran into Corey Lewandowski, I'd kick him in the balls and run.
Oh, yeah. Well, No, I mean, she doesn't...
To Ivanka, I'd say, you seem like a very lovely person. Do you fight back? Do you say things? Can you make a difference? But I didn't do it.
Well, you know what? I think probably now, if you were sitting next to her tomorrow, I think you probably would say something. Because now it's like, you know, for someone who is supposed to be so supportive of all women...
And children...
So detached from, you know, posting pictures of her children and her. I mean, how do you not know that that's probably not the coolest thing to do when your administration is doing a lot of the hell that's been brought onto this world? But she does. She is the first daughter. She has influence. And Melania has – these two women should be doing something. And when Laura Bush comes forward and says something, and I would imagine if Nancy Reagan was still here, she would have said something.
But I say something to you?
Go ahead.
Is there enough money on God's earth for you to marry Donald Trump? Not for me, there's not.
Oh, I definitely would. I can't imagine there's any reason, unless you said you were going to kill somebody that I loved. That is probably the only reason I would think in terms of that. But it wouldn't be anything as far as...
And then
as
if you had to go to bed with him, I'm sorry, friend, you have to die. Because
There's not enough liquor in the universe.
I feel she's complicit. She took supposedly they were getting a divorce, and she took extra money to stay. And, you know, she looks like she's, you know, being held prisoner anyway, so...
Yeah, she's had enough.
But she's a... You know what? The one thing, I don't know her personally. I don't want to say I don't like her just because she's with him. I'm sure she's living her own hell. But she seems like a very devoted mother to a child with special needs, of which there are probably many that are being held without medication. And this is what she's got to think. This is what what his daughter has got to think. They're both mothers. Think as a mother for one.
You know something? I have to say, as far as Ivanka goes, She's been a little absent now, and I'm hopeful that she's withdrawing, but my feeling is she's being complicit. It's her father, and she's not going to say anything. And then those two galoots, those two sons who are like Beavis and Butthead, they are the worst. And I think if you don't have a chin, you become nasty. That's my theory. If you have a chin, no chin and bad teeth, buck teeth, it does something to you.
But you know, why am I not hearing from Michelle Obama? Why has she not come forward?
Well, you know something? I found that also. That bothers me and all the other presidents. Bill Clinton said something, I think, and Jimmy Carter is always bitching about something somewhere. Why isn't he speaking out? I think every president should have spoken out about this. I don't care about the rule that you're not supposed to do it. This is, we're talking pre-war Germany now. You
that's
speak
exactly
up,
right.
Damn it.
That is exactly, and that's why I'm thinking, I know Hillary said something the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody come forward.
I know. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
And I'm wondering why the UN is not doing anything. What I mean,
well, the UN did. They
okay.
The head of the, I can't think what it's called, the human rights.
Good.
That's a terrible place, by the way. I used to be the observer there for the Simon Wiesenthal Center. They have no right to complain about anything, but they condemned us, which is so interesting. And now we withdrew, you know. So, I mean, and they're right to condemn us, and we're right to withdraw. It's a no-win situation there.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is what I'm saying. There's absolutely nothing to lose.
But the Pope, I love this.
I love it.
He is
Thank
so
God.
On top of everything. And and Franklin Graham, who's been in Trump's pocket, he spoke out. So some of them finally stepped up.
Thank God. I mean, because when it comes to this, I mean, even if you're not a parent, you have to have a really cold heart to be able to watch and hear.
Oh, my God. I couldn't listen to those tapes. And even when they put – I turned the sound off, and then it was a black screen, and it said, Mommy, Daddy on it.
No.
I was sobbing.
No. I mean, it's just every person's worst nightmare, either you as a child being separated from your mother or – as a parent, your child being separated from you. It hits on one level or the other.
And you know there are some of them that they'll never be able to find the parents.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and then what's going to happen? And then what's going to happen?
Well, they said they'll be in foster care, they'll be adopted, but their parents are God knows where. And some of them, they've lost the paperwork even because they're so overwhelmed. That's the other thing. You know, this is going to sound awful, but the Nazis at least were organized. They kept all the paperwork, and that's why we know of everything they did, because they, if you ever go to the Holocaust Museum in D.C., it's like a factory. It's so planned, and so that's part of their nature. This was so sloppy, they didn't even have enough people. They had 4 social workers taking care of 200 children.
That's the whole thing. This was not methodic. This was just put together, makeshift.
Stupid, ugly,
in a temper tantrum, and this is what we got. And
that,
again, both sides of evil. I'm not going to say one is better than the other. It's the same thing.
And these DACA kids. What about these DACA kids? They said, come forth, tell us who you are, and you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And they come forth, and now we've left them out there. I know this one kid who was an illegal, and he's a great spokesman now, and he's a brilliant journalist. And it's like a nightmare I can't wake up from. That this is,
And it's you know what? And the byproduct of this is going to go on for years and years because this is
oh my God.
20 days, even if everything is signed in 20 days is a lot in the life of a child. And
of a child,
separated parent.
5 minutes. Have you ever lost a kid for 2 seconds in a store?
I have been lost in the store, and I remember the terror.
Oh,
of
my
being
God, honey.
Oh,
I just got goose pimples when you said that.
It's horrible. It is absolutely horrible.
How old
were you? I'll never forget that. I probably was 3 or 4.
Oh, my God.
And I wandered off. I got out of it. My mother was always on top of me, and I wandered away for 1 minute.
Mm.
And it was just, you know, you're small, and everything is so big, and you're just screaming and crying, and you can't catch a breath. It's horrible. And to this day, you don't forget that. When anything scares you, you're like 4 years old and crying for your mother, and it never goes.
To end on a lighter note, I mean,
go
it's
ahead,
not
Lauren.
Funny,
we
but they said if only Donald Trump had been loved as a child, none of this would have happened. So let's blame the parents, the Nazi father and the mother with the weird hair.
Now, I've seen stories that his mother was institutionalized several times.
Really?
So, yeah. And
I never saw that.
I read it in the Times, and then I never saw the story again. And don't forget, his brother was an alcoholic. So
right.
there, and that's why he does not drink.
Well, you know, as a child, he used to steal people. This is the truth. It's almost funny, but steal other babies' things from their cribs.
Wow, that's
and
see, that's
throw
sick.
Them at him.
At
oh,
them.
Wow. Oh.
And he was sent to military school because he was beating other kids up, you know. I mean, he's
yeah.
Tony Schwartz, who wrote The Art of the Deal, who I don't forgive. I'm on Twitter with him, and he's trying to make up for it all now. But he should be president because he wrote the book. Of course,
yeah.
Donald Trump never reads, and he never even read the book.
Yeah.
But he said he is, and he knows him better than anyone, an empty vessel with a black hole in the middle that never can be filled. And every time I see him walk, and here's my tell, you know, in poker they say there's a tell. When he takes the outside of his jacket and kind of pulls it, you know he's going to do something awful or he's feeling insecure. Like when he stood with all the beautifully tailored other leaders of the world, like a fat pig with his stomach sticking, he would pull his jacket always because he was nervous.
Interesting. Yeah, body language. Well, you know, the truth is, let's be serious. At one point in his life, he was a four-year-old and probably a cute little boy. Something happened.
Oh, well, the father was a horrible father.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
His old father.
This is the sin. This is why I always say not everybody should be a parent. Be a parent only if you could be a good parent and give your child the insulation of love that they need so they contribute to society, not ruin it.
But what frightens me more than anything, you know, there's this theory called the great man theory, and it's usually evil people, how one person can influence the world. Our world is now at the mercy of this person.
Yeah.
And we don't seem to be able to fight it sufficiently, and I don't know. I hope the institutions can, but the courts are already gone. The environment's already gone. I mean, I don't know. You know, this is the first time we've made an impact. I hope it's the beginning of something else, but let's think of a funny thing to end on.
Well, I was going
to ask. What happened to me? What awful, funny thing happened? Oh, well, we're back to the vibrator. But no, they'll have to read it.
I'm still trying to figure out who's going to play you.
Yeah,
you
well,
we
got to think about that.
I'm trying to think about who do I like? Wait, no. You know who I really like?
Who?
Who really is, I think, the most underrated actress of our time, and she is just amazing. Toni Collette. Is absolutely
yeah,
wonderful.
But she doesn't look anything like me.
But makeup,
she doesn't have to look like you.
Makeup.
How many times
nah,
have
she has to look? She has to look like me. Someone really, really fabulous and better looking has to pretend to be me.
Oh, there's nobody in Hollywood like that.
Then
come on.
Then we can't make a movie. Because that's
why.
But no,
I can think of something really funny. I mean, it's not funny, but let's talk about poor, what's her name that just threatened to kill herself? What's her name? Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't hear this.
Yeah, she assaulted
her
mother.
Called and
she got
said she's looking for a gun. She's got a lot of issues and problems.
Oh,
no, she can't play me. I never was that depressed.
I forgot about her as an actress. Totally. Wow.
Yeah, but do we know the whole backstory about it? I mean, so many times that
she attacked her mother.
Yeah,
she attacked her mother and
her
boyfriend, and she's got alcohol issues and pill issues. I just have chocolate issues. I give myself one handful of those little chocolate covered berries a night, and this week I ate 2-3 handfuls a day. So
The dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the dark chocolate.
It's good for you, but not when you have more than one handful.
Well, yeah, that's totally a thing. But you know what? It's better than drinking.
Stress eating, right?
Stress eating. So, what before you leave us? What's anything going on that you want to shout out? Any appearances that be coming up over the summer?
I'm going to Aspen, where I already did my book signing, but no, that's my vacation. And then my little godchild, who I love and adore more than anything, whom you will see in the book, is having an operation, so I'm going to San Francisco to be with her. And then I'm still looking for a husband, so if anybody wants to find a guy for me between 5'10 and 6'2, between 65 and I think I'll go 72, let's see what else. Extremely smart and a mensch and a nice lifestyle. Get in touch with Lori and she'll send him to me.
I'll set it up now. But see, now I got two things going. Got to find her a husband and someone to play her.
Play her.
What am I going to do?
I love you guys.
Love you too, sweetheart. And we're going to put all the information about the book and everything up on our page tomorrow. Thank you,
great.
Darling.
And I
thank
will
you.
Say, anybody who resents our discussion wouldn't light my book anyway. So
yeah,
there
so
you go.
Forget
there
it.
You go.
Stay and buying it.
Bye-bye, darling. Have a great
love
day.
You.
Love
bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The lovely Susan Silver. Lovely Susan Silver. And she's lovely. And you know what? I think that her book is perfect for this summer. The climate that we're in, because you need to laugh. And the book is nice because it's a myriad
of... It's a great summer
reads.
It's on the beach, it's paperback.
And the thing is, it's got some hot stuff. It's got some very humorous stuff. And there's a chapter about a relationship with the parents. She's very close with the parents, especially a father. And that's very sweet. So you have it takes you through a nice little roller coaster of emotions,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. And you always end laughing.
Definitely.
So I think that's the best thing. She wraps it up really nicely. And we're going to think about that.
What?
Who could play her? I think Toni Collette. I mean, because Susan, you didn't meet her. She's tall.
Mm-hmm.
Tall. I think she's a pretty woman. She's certainly not glamorous, and Susan definitely is a more glamorous type. But I think they could. Jessica Lange can't.
No, she's too old.
But do we want somebody
who could do a little comedy too, you know?
See, that's why Toni Collette
gotta be light.
Is hysterical. And she's great with accents.
Right.
And she would get her accent down immediately, mm-hmm. because it's more of a Midwest than a New York accent. I say Toni Collette.
All right. Then we'll go
Toni
Collette.
Collette's agent is, well, I have nothing to do with this, but I just think she'd be perfect for the part. And if Toni Collette knows a nice man for the lovely Susan Silva, she would be in heaven. And that, you know, she's a lovely person.
Yes.
She really is, and she's a lot of fun and a bright woman,
mm-hmm.
and she's always a pleasure to be on the show. Now, what would I say in ending this? What would I say to end
goodbye.
This show? You know what I think? It's we don't want to end on a bad note, because, you know, you want to end on a note that's optimistic,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's really what we have to be optimistic that things were happening as we're on the air.
Yeah.
Something
I told you
signed.
I saw something.
And the truth is, and people, I'm not so tied to my party to say that, well, I don't want him to do well. If he's going to do something good for the planet, I might not like him personally, but I'll say someone's going to benefit from it.
Well, he runs the house like he does, like his TV shows.
Well,
he is the boss, and if you don't listen to me, then you're fired. And that's what he does. He fires everybody that he doesn't like. This is not a TV show. We're dealing with human beings here,
right.
And a lot of human beings.
And ones that don't have a vote.
Exactly.
And babies. And,
exactly.
You know.
So this is the issue here.
Yeah. So on that note, we hope that everybody... What are you laughing at? We are hoping that this brings us a little bit closer to realizing we have the same basic wants and needs, and
right.
most of us love our kids, and most of us love children.
Have to love each other.
And most of us want
to
help.
Love each other no matter who we are,
and,
no matter what race,
and most,
no matter
well, think about
what
country.
Religion.
Most people, this country, this is what I think bothers me the most. This country was like the moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
We were always proud of being embracing and allowing
and
people in
everybody.
And taking people in when they were running from terror.
The product of that.
That's what I'm saying.
My father came here because he wanted to be part of, you know, America,
yeah.
to make a
yeah.
living, you know.
Yeah.
We were accepted. They opened up their arms for us. And look at us after all these years.
And that's all people want.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And the thing is, it's always, and I know that certain people, I'm not even going to mention names, it's all about, well, you're not going to get mine. It's mine. You know, we become a country of hoarders. We don't share.
Right.
We forget what it's like to not have things. And we can't be generous with our souls and
well, those
our...
people usually have things. They just have to a lot of sex.
What I'm trying to say is, how could a child coming into this country impact poorly on any of us?
Yeah. Well.
And just like people say, oh, well, you know what? All those welfare mothers are ruining our... How are they ruining our... They're not
I
ruining
have a
my
feeling
life.
That he did all this on purpose.
Well,
so
you
we
know
could
what?
Come out smelling like a rose again.
And...
He does this.
How
he,
sick is that?
He's sick.
You're
he's a
using,
sick man.
You're using babies as...
He's using yeah. us as pawns.
But anyway,
pawns.
This is what we'll do. We'll just say, maybe all of this will bring us a little closer to realizing we have more in common than, you know, we might be different party lines, and that's fine.
Right.
But I think most human beings should recognize the fact that we are human beings. We all are. And
we put one leg in each
right,
other's pants
right.
at
and,
a time.
And we
right.
love our kids and we love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's let's take it from here.
We're
let's,
all the same.
Let's just take it from here and make this week go away. And I want to thank someone I never want to go away. He's a lovely Susan Silverman.
Oh, thank you.
Never go away, sweetheart.
Thank you.
With me, the lovely Susan Silver. All her information will be on our page tomorrow. Please buy her book. For crying out loud.
She's wonderful.
We got to laugh.
Yep.
We gotta laugh, and you will laugh with her book. And we will be back next week. And just be good to each other. Keep an open conscience, an open mind, an open heart, and just try to do the right thing. And I think that's the best thing
love
I can say.
Love one another.
Yeah, be good to each other. Be kind. It
yeah.
really doesn't take a lot more than a simple gesture. Yeah, that's it. So be good people. Next week, next time, take care of yourselves. Nina, take us home.
One, two.